The 17th all-time win in the West Coast Conference Championship game for Gonzaga. 84-66. They pull away from St. Mary's in the second half. Very impressive performance.
Gonzaga looking like a number one seed, and they will be the number one seed in the West, I would imagine, and they'll be 2 miles away from campus. Mark Few said after the game last night, head coach of Gonzaga, if they beat St. Mary's last night for the WCC Conference Championship tournament title again, they usually win it. He said, yeah, we got decisions to make. Whether or not we sleep in a hotel or sleep in our own bed, I vote for our own bed. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Why waste money on hotels? Save the money for the school and sleep in your own bed. I think that's a no-brainer, to be quite honest with you. But I believe they said 2 miles away from campus. They said Spokane is where the first and second round games will be, and they're located right there in their Spokane. So I think I heard that right. 2 miles?
Yeah. So, can't be much more than that. I guess that's where it's at.
That's called really in your backyard.
Yes.
Pretty cool for Gonzaga. Robert Morris, among others, punching their ticket. We'll get to the Ivy League and how they decided who's going to be in the NCAA tournament coming up in a moment. Of course, state basketball today, as we'll have Beloit and Nemaha Central. Nemaha Central, the 6 seed, Beloit, the 3 seed, Beloit 20-3, winners of 12 games in a row. They haven't lost since January 28th. And Nemaha Central's won 5 in a row. Nemaha Central coming off a 3 close wins at the Hiawatha Substate. Nemaha Central, we talk about the Beloit girls, were in a lot of close games this year. I told you that 15 of their 21 games, 22 games, actually maybe it was 16, 15 or 16 of their, actually it was 14 of their 22 games were decided by 7 or less. And then the 5 of the last 7 decided by 3 or less or 4 or less or something like that. So you thought Beloit girls only ones play close games? Nemaha Central boys, they have played 23 games. They are 10-3 in games decided by 6 points or less. That's 13 games.
Yeah.
And they've been in 6 one-possession games. They are 3-3 in games decided by 3 points or less. Because they hold the ball a lot. They're very patient. They limit possessions. And they're not a great offensive team. But their defense is pretty solid. They play man-to-man, play 2-3. And they play some good teams, certainly in the Big 7 League. They were 17-6, but 5 of their losses were in league play. Royal Valley, of course, made it to the sub-state finals. They lost to them a couple of times. They lost to Perry LeCompton, among others. They beat St. Mary's, who's in the state tournament in Hutch today, as an 8 seed. They beat St. Mary's on a buzzer-beating 3 early in the season. Nemaha Central used to be Nemaha Valley. Nemaha Valley Raiders is what they were called. And the last time they were at state was 2014, when they lost to Beloit in the state semifinals. That was the last year they were Nemaha Valley. They consolidated between B&B and Nemaha Valley to form Nemaha Central, and they are now called the Thunder, and this is their first appearance as being called Nemaha Central. And they get Beloit today. Beloit, of course, has been the state now 19 times. Nemaha Central / Nemaha Valley, this is their 18th state tournament appearance. Nemaha Valley has what Beloit wants. Nemaha Valley has 2 state championships to their credit back in 84 and 88, and they've been runner-up a couple of times under John Thomas, head coach of Nemaha Central, who's in his 25th year of coaching. He's been to state 12 times. That's pretty good.
Every other year, about, almost.
Not bad. He had a stretch where they made it 7 straight years. From 08 to 14, yeah. Nemaha Valley made it 7 straight years of state tournament and didn't win it any of those 7 years. And they made it to the semis every single time.
Man.
So 7 times made it to state semifinals. They lost in the finals 2 times. And then the other 5 times they lost in the semifinals. So you talk about being there, you enhance your chances of winning. Nemaha Valley did that and didn't win a title during that stretch. Whereas, you know, Beloit's been there 19 times. They've been in the championship game 6 times. As we know by now, they're 0-6 in the state title games, including that tough loss to Girard in the finals last year. And so now Beloit comes in, winners of 12 in a row, playing good basketball. They blew out TMP in the sub-state finals after squeaking by Norton in the sub-state semis. So this is going to be an interesting matchup between Beloit and Nemaha Central today. Nemaha Central, there weren't a lot of expectations for them to make state before the season, just like there weren't a lot of expectations for them in football, and they won the state championship in football in Class 2A, their first ever state football title, Nemaha Valley or Nemaha Central.
Yeah.
So that doesn't seem to bother them too much.
No.
Beloit will have the experience factor, certainly with Gray and Mason and Pollen and Cox, who played quite a bit, of course, last year's team that made it to the state championship, and it's their second straight trip to state, 19th overall. Nemaha Central, by the way, hasn't been, like I said, since 2014, so they have no kids on their team that have state tournament experience. So what does Nemaha Central pose? What do they do offensively, defense? With a breakdown of it, here's the head coach of Beloit Trojans, Ryan Eilert.
Offensively, they're very patient. They'll swing the ball multiple times. They do a good job of cutting from the weak side and trying to get back doors and then screen in the backside and get guys flashing to the ball. And if they don't like it, they swing it and they go to the other side and they do it again. Some of the same cuts, they'll read the defense and change up their cuts. But, you know, offensively, they've got four or five guys that have the potential of scoring. And you can't, you know, necessarily leave anybody, and you've got to make sure that you're seeing ball and man, because they're continually moving and cutting. And like I said, you could be on defense for 45 seconds to a minute if they want to be that patient.
So when you shorten games, if you listen to the show on a regular basis and you listen during the Chiefs football season, shorten games by time of possession.
Yes.
And there's no shot clock. So you limit possessions, and I think it's very important in this game today, the beginning of the game. Like if Bullitt can jump out to an early, you know, 10-4 lead or something like that, or even if it's tight, that's fine too. But if Nemaha Central gets out the early 8-2 lead, hopefully Bullitt doesn't press a little bit and try too much, try to get it all back, because Nemaha Central is going to be methodical. They do turn it over 14 times a game, which is kind of high considering that they have limited possessions. So they'll make mistakes.
Yeah.
Bullitt only turns over 10 times a game. One thing to keep an eye on for Nemaha Central, they're not a good foul shooting team. 54% as a team, Bullitt meanwhile 65%. So their best foul shooter is 65%. So that's something to keep an eye on. They missed 9 free throws in the fourth quarter alone in the sub-state finals and still won against Marysville, a team that they lost to earlier. Uh-huh. So Nemaha Central, they've got some warts. They're not a perfect team, nor is really anybody in this bracket. But Nemaha Central does have a philosophy and a way of doing things that could pose some problems for Beloit today. I think Beloit still has enough firepower to win as long as they don't press and get tight and enjoy the experience. And that'll be today. 4:30 around there for pregame on Katie Country 94 and katiecountry94.com. There is a live video stream. We have the link posted. Go to nckssports.com and you can watch that live video stream. If Beloit moves on to the semifinals, we hope to have a live video stream of our own coming up on Friday. We're still working on that. No need to worry about it until we know for sure Beloit wins today. And then Saturday, we cannot do any video streaming, whether it's third place or first place. We cannot video stream coming up on Saturday. So we'll have it on the radio for you, Beloit first or third place game, if they win today. We'll have it on the radio, of course, on Friday, too, along with hopefully a video stream. So the 3A state bracket, Beloit's the 3 seed at 20-3, Nemaha Central 17-6. That's at 4:45 today, pregame at 4:30, as I mentioned. Collegiate is a 2 seed. They'll play the first game today. They'll be a heavy favorite against Colby. That'll be a 3 o'clock tip today in Hutch at the Sports Arena. Then later tonight, I'm interested in that 1 seed Haven against the 8 seed St. Mary's. St. Mary's 13-10. Beat the 1, 2, and 3 seeds at Substate. I hear they got one of their best or better players back due to injury. That's one of the reasons why they had their record was a little bit deceiving going into Substate. And they'll play at 6:30, and the winner of that game will get the winner of the nightcap at 8:15 between the 4 seed Galena and the 5 seed Burlington. If St. Mary's would not have beaten Royal Valley by a point in the Substate finals, Beloit would have been a 4 seed, Collegiate would have been a 3 seed, and they would have been opposite sides of the bracket. Because some people believe that Beloit Collegiate might be the two best teams in this tournament. Now, I don't know. I don't know. I've got a feeling Haven's got something to say about that. I think they're really good. I mean, they just beat Heston.
They
got to
be pretty good.
I think Haven's pretty good.
Yeah.
Collegiate, they lost big time earlier in the year to Great Bend. Great Bend's a team that beat TMP by 12, and Beloit, you know, crushed TMP the other night. But you really can't get into comparative scores, and Beloit's not going to look ahead to a semifinal matchup because they got to win their first one. And if they do look ahead, they're going to be in trouble. So you got to be ready to go, and if you had one bad day or one bad quarter, or sometimes, can cost you a chance at the state championship. So the margin of error is certainly razor thin. We saw that last year when Beloit barely made it out of the sub-state semis, and then went all the way to state championship, and then you saw the razor thin difference between them and Girard a year ago. So it'll be a fun matchup today. I'm looking forward to it with Nemaha Central versus Beloit. I have a lot of people that think Collegiate's going to win this thing. And how could you argue against it? Grady Dick, who's 6'5", stud, he's going to go to KU. He got to be pretty good to go to KU. That's just in. And and they have a 6'10 kid, too. So I don't know how good he is. But Collegiate apparently has a lot of depth off the bench, too. So if Beloit gets by Nemaha Central, I would think pretty confidently they'll play Collegiate in the semifinals on Friday.
Yeah,
I'd be stunned if Colby beats Collegiate.
I'm very confident Collegiate's going to win their first game.
I would be surprised if Colby wins or even stays within 10 of them, probably.
Yeah.
But Collegiate's not, you know, like I said, they've lost 3 games. They've been beaten But they play a tougher, usually bigger class schedule, too.
I'm thinking back to the middle season tournament because my nephew's team there at Newton played collegiate, and they lost by like 6 or 7, I think. Mm-hmm. They would have held on and won that game, darn it. Beloit would have been the 2, and collegiate would have been the 3.
Well, that one doesn't really matter, honestly. 2 or 3 don't matter.
They'd play against each other in the semis no matter what, but maybe you get a better first-round matchup or whatever. But
yeah, well, you avoid a rematch of Colby. Sometimes rematches can be a little scary.
Yeah.
Because that was the third game in 3 days at the Orange and Black Classic, if I remember correctly. So who knows? But, it's going to be interesting to see what happens out at Hutch and Newton's a 5A school, and collegiate beat them by 6.
Yeah.
You know, listen, I know what people are going to say and they're thinking, and I'm with you. You know, there's this whole, there's the whole private versus public debate. It's been going on for quite some time. I don't think it applies to all private schools. I think some private schools get thrown in there unfairly so as to they got to compete at a higher level because they're private. But I'm going to tell you right now, there are certain private schools that do have an advantage, and there's certain private schools that are always, almost always, in the state tournaments or winning state championships, and collegiate is certainly one of those.
Yes.
I'll leave it at that. Trust me, I've experienced it since I was in high school myself.
Yeah.
There's a lot of money at Wichita Collegiate. A lot.
Yeah, and it's even more prevalent in the sport that you're talking about that you experienced it in high school.
Yes.
But, yeah.
Exactly. Okay, on the girls' side, Nemaha Central. What? Nemaha Central. Everybody in Seneca is going to be in Hutch. Nemaha Central girls tomorrow, the one seed, and they're the only undefeated team in the 3A bracket. They'll take on Osage City. Phillipsburg, first ever appearance for girls, the girls team in Phillipsburg. That's pretty cool. But they have a tough matchup. They'll take on Cheney, who was state runner-up a year ago. The Sheer girl is one of the best players in the state. And Taryn Sides is a fantastic, maybe the best freshman in the state as a point guard. Phillipsburg against Cheney at 4:45 tomorrow. Frontenac Jeff West at 6:30 tomorrow night. And Halstead against Scott City at 8:15 tomorrow. Those are the matchups in 3A. Looking at, we'll go 2A girls because those games are today. Spearville against Pittsburgh Colgan at 6:30. Spearville undefeated, the one seed. Valley Heights, the 4 seed against Waubunsee, the 5 at 8:15. The early game today is Dusty, my alma mater. Waukini girls are good at basketball. They were horrible when I was there. Trigger Community girls are 22-1. Waukini will take on Bennington at 3 o'clock today in Manhattan. And Sterling, a 3 seed against the 6 seed Garden Plain at 4:45. On the boys' side of Class 2A, if you're looking forward to tomorrow, Pratt Skyline is the 1 seed at 21-1. I'll take on Hillsborough at 3. 4:45, it's Erie against Sterling. Bishop Seabury Academy will take on Valley Heights at 6:30. And Hoxie, a 3 seed against Garden Plain at 8:15. Those boys' 2A games are tomorrow night. Boys' 1A games today out in Dodge City. It'll be Breen Academy undefeated against Stockton. Stockton coming out of this area from the Mid-Continent League at 14-11. That's a 6:30 tip-off. Out in Dodge, 8:15 tonight, it's Lebo against South Central. Little River will take on St. Francis at 3 o'clock this afternoon, and at 4:45, St. John Hudson versus Frankfurt, who was able to get by St. John's Tipton in the sub-state finals of Marysville this past Saturday. On the girls' side, why bother? Central Plains will win it all, but they'll play Ingalls at 6:30 just for fun. Hanover, Otis Bison, 8:15. Could have Hanover, Central Plains, a rematch of the final from a year ago in the semifinals. Mm-hmm. Cunningham's undefeated 25-0, but who have they played? I'm not sure. They'll play Centralia at 3 o'clock today. Would not be stunned if Centralia wins that game.
I would predict Centralia to win it without knowing anything about Cunningham.
I'm with you. Olpe, undefeated at 25-0. They'll take on Norwich at 4:45. Those games are tomorrow out in Dodge City on the 3A girls' side. 3 undefeated teams, but really only one really is the one you're focusing on. That's Central Plains, who've won 135 games in a row, according to Acacia, and going for, I believe, their 7th straight state championship. Is that right? 7th straight?
7th straight,
wow,
yeah.
That's pretty impressive. And the 4A bracket is posted, 5A, 6A. If you want to check all that out, it's available to you at nckssports.com with links to the state tournament brackets. All right, anything else to add from a local perspective?
I think that covers it.
All right, who do you like in some of those brackets when I went through? Anybody that stands out you think's, you know, obviously Central Plains, but...
Yeah, I'm pulling for the alma mater, obviously, in 2A girls. I think they have a chance this year. I think their semifinal game might be tougher than a championship.
I guess that semifinal game looks tough
to
me.
The championship.
Yeah.
So it's either Garden Plain or Sterling, and I'm like, that's going to be tough no matter who they play there. Because I think the bottom side's stronger than the top there in 2A girls.
I think so, too.
Yeah. I mean, nothing really.
I hope the Trigger girls win it and make it, but I'm predicting they lose in the semis.
I know. That's – That's for me too. Bishop Seabury probably win two A boys. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know much about the teams that are two A boys, but one A boys should be an interesting tournament. Actually, one A boys. We'll see how that all plays. I don't know how good Breen Academy is, but they're the only undefeated team out there. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you right now, Frankfort will give anybody a run for their money out there on that bottom side, I think. And so it'd be interesting to see how it all plays out.
I'm keeping on the Cheney girls in 3A. I think they could win it all. They're in class 3A. I know Nemaw Central's undefeated, but the Cheney-Nemaw Central in the semis would be quite a matchup if that's what ends up being, although I'm going to be pulling for Phillipsburg because I just like their coaches are real nice, easy to get along with, and the school's always been easy to get along with. Their athletic director, Mr. Sides, has been great, and so I'm cheering for Mid-Continent League to win that game against Cheney, but I think it's going to be very difficult coming up tomorrow. So once again, Beloit-Nemaw Central boys today, 4:30 about there. With pregame, you might tune in a few minutes ahead of that in case we go a little earlier. If we're set up early, we could go a little bit earlier. We shall see. And that'll be on KDCountry94, KDCountry94.com. And there is a video stream that we have posted at NCKSSports.com. But my big advice to you is go to the game. Get down there. You know, there's no guarantee Beloit's going to win today. I heard some people, I ran into somebody yesterday, and they said, you going to Hutch? Oh, I'm going to wait till Friday. And I said, what if they lose Wednesday? It didn't dawn on them.
Yeah.
That Beloit could lose. Absolutely can lose. Nemaw Central's a good team.
Yeah, I fell into that trap earlier in the postseason. Yeah, it's like, we're going to wait until this, and then, no, you're not.
No, you're not.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So you take advantage of it when you can do it. All right, some high school football rule changes. Scott Creer sent this to me a few weeks ago, but we haven't had really a chance to look at it. Few changes here. There's a halftime intermission option following a weather delay. They can shorten that if opposing coaches, they all agree on that, so they can shorten that intermission option after a weather delay. The 40-second play clock clarification to eliminate a potential timing advantage gained by a defensive team. The rules committee approved the play clock being set to 40 seconds when an official's timeout is taken for an injury to a defensive player or a defensive player has an equipment issue. Following a legal kick, when either team is awarded a new series, the play clock will be set to 25 seconds. And this is interesting. Disconcerting acts or words by the defense has been reclassified from a 15-yard unsportsmanlike foul to a 5-yard foul. I think that's one of the bigger ones that I'm seeing here. Trying to see here. Prior to the game, the head coach will notify the referee of the designated representative, coach, or player who will make decisions regarding penalty acceptance or whether or not to decline. The points of emphasis this year will be in high school football sportsmanship, intentional grounding, ineligible downfield and line of scrimmage formation. Those will be some emphasis come up in the upcoming high school football season. If you're a football junkie, you're like, yay, you talked about high school football during high school basketball season. Also, let's go through the Big 12 tournament, where the Big 12 tournament is taking place today. It begins. It'll be Oklahoma State and Iowa State, the 8 and the 9, at 6 o'clock tonight on ESPNU, followed by number 7 TCU against number 10 Kansas State. That will be at around 8:30 tonight on ESPN. You and Bruce Weber on the mindset for the Cats going into the Big 12 tournament.
Our coaches do a great job. We played them. You know, they've been pretty, like most of the games in our league, we've been close. You know, we're going to have to play. We got to guard. If we play this hard, like we played the last week, 10 days, and defend like we have, obviously it helps to make a few shots, but I think we can compete now, you know, hopefully good mindset. Worried about the right things, focused on the right things, and maybe some good things will happen.
All right, so those matchups tonight, K-State, if they win, would get Baylor tomorrow in the quarterfinals, and that would be at 6 o'clock, Baylor the 2 seed. Tomorrow morning, number 4 Texas against number 5 Texas Tech at 11:30, and then KU will play at about 2 o'clock, 1:30 pregame against the Oklahoma State-Iowa State winner. That'll be on Z96.3 Lake tomorrow. You're home for the Jayhawks in North Central Kansas. And then the nightcap tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, it'll be number 3 Oklahoma against number 6 West Virginia, but that actually will be 8:30. Why they put the times on this thing like that, it's maddening to me and just silly and dumb. I mean, I don't want to try to throw the word dumb out there too loosely, but that's just beyond dumb. I mean, come on. It just, because then you look at this and you start saying these times, and then you have to catch yourself because you know they're off by half an hour.
Yeah.
Why not just get it right to start with? You know, don't they need to warm up after the first game, the new teams, right?
Yeah, the teams don't just go out and roll the ball out and play
there
right
we go.
After the other
get them
the first
the
game's
floor.
Over.
Let's get them in there. Opening tip. Let's go. So the Big 12 tournament. We'll get back to college basketball in just a moment. But first, I want to jump to the NFL, where the NFL draft order has been finalized. And no, the Chiefs will not be drafting number one since they won the Super Bowl. They are, yes, at the very bottom at pick number 32. They'll have the last pick of the first round. They will have the second to last pick in the second round, thanks to that trade with Dee Ford to San Francisco and the shuffling of all that. I can't give you all the details of it. The Chiefs will pick number 96. So they'll be mid to late in the third round, be more late, but still not at the very end. Fourth round, the Chiefs will be at 138. And so those are the picks. The Chiefs have a fifth-round pick. The Chiefs have a pick in every round, except for the sixth round. They don't have a pick in the sixth round. And they don't have a seventh-round pick. Okay. So they have a pick in every round except the last two rounds, six and seven, in case that matters to anybody.
Yeah, and who knows? They might trade some stuff and end up back in those rounds. You never know what happens.
They might. Or as Brett Beach has done in the past, he's traded to move up and give up picks.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if that's the right way to do it or not, but who am I to argue with the guy? He just won a Super Bowl, so.
Yeah, it varies each year whether you think it's a good idea or not to trade up. Just obviously, it just depends on who you're picking, who you're going for, and then you don't even really know until later on if it worked out the right way that you wanted it to or not.
Let's just hope that Brett Beach doesn't have the track record after winning a world championship that Dayton Moore had.
Very true.
Dayton Moore, everything he touched went to gold, then they won it, and then everything turned to you know what. Yeah. Within the next few years, like every single movie made almost blew up in his face. It's almost like he sold his soul to the devil. We joked about that. And hopefully the Chiefs didn't do that last year, and they'll never make it back to the Super Bowl. But they do have one, to their credit, two in their history, which is still only one behind the Broncos. After 50 years of not being a Super Bowl, there's still only one Super Bowl championship behind the Broncos. Oh, wait a minute, Bronco fan, going to say, we've been to more Super Bowls. Yeah, I think if I were you, I'd forget those. You lost by an average of like 20,000 points in those games. Okay, not that bad. About 20. We looked that up. They got blown out about every single Super Bowl they lost.
Yeah, I'll take a 67% winning percentage with two Super Bowls over.
I'll take it.
Whatever you got with three.
Yeah, of course they'll say we got three, you got two, so we'll take that. Sure, I'll just wait. We'll catch you.
Yeah,
we'll get to three.
That part's coming. Don't worry.
We'll have a much better winning percentage then if we win it next year. But we shall see. I say we. I don't play for the team, but I cheer for them. Okay, we end with this. It is the big news now, and it was just a matter of time. I mean, I think we all knew this. If you didn't, you're just not really paying attention, probably. But we knew this whole coronavirus thing is going to affect sports. It was just inevitable. It's just a matter of time. And I was talking, I think a week or two ago, I brought this up. I don't know if I brought it up on the show, but I brought it up talking to someone. I said, you know, the way this is going, this whole coronavirus thing is going to spread. I mean, you can't contain it. It's going to spread. And it's not like everybody that gets the coronavirus dies. You know, I think the national media has just been so irresponsible with the fear and the panic. Like, the thing I keep going back to is I don't hear the news, whether it's the top of the hour news that we have or any other news entity. And anything I've watched, which I haven't watched a lot of TV, probably a good thing because I'm kind of tired of this whole coronavirus talk anyway. But you got to pay attention to it. And I get it. And I'm not trying to downplay it. But at the same time, I'm like, you don't hear, how old are the people that died from coronavirus? Did they have a pre-existing health condition? Did they have a weak immune system? You don't hear anything like that.
Yes.
The answers are yes, but you got to dig for that information.
Yeah.
That should be out front and center to slow down the panic for people. But that's not the way, apparently, mainstream media is. It's about panic.
Absolutely.
It's about fear. It's about getting everybody riled up. There's been some things I've heard about in certain places of the country where you can't even get toilet paper at the store because people are freaking out and buying all the toilet paper.
Yeah.
Which, okay. It's just the way our society is. We're, you know, there's leaders and there's followers and there's a lot of lemmings in this country. And you know what a lemming is?
Yeah.
You know, somebody jumps off the cliff, you just blindly jump off the cliff right behind them. We have a lot of people in this country that are that way, unfortunately. But there is a lot more information about the coronavirus out there. You can research it. And if you think you're going to die of the coronavirus and you're ready to lock yourself in your house, listen, it's not the plague. Okay. It's a virus, and you can have flu-like symptoms. And 45,000 people died of the flu this year. 32 from the coronavirus. I mean, just keep it in perspective. Now, I know there's not a you got a vaccine for, you know, certain things of the flu. By the way, coronavirus is not a new thing. This virus has existed over time.
Yeah, this is a different strain.
Just a different strain, but it's existed. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. But what I'm trying to tell people is you do need to pay attention. You need to do what you need to do. But please keep in don't think that you can't live your life and you just got to live your life out of fear. You know, listen, Dusty and I had this conversation off the other day. If you're going to die, you're going to die. You're not going to be able to control it. I mean, you can try to help your variables in regards to maybe you don't travel. Okay, fine. If you're scared of that, here's an idea. Wash your hands would be a really good idea. Stay away. If people start to, you see they're starting to cough or sneeze or whatever the case may be, you want to maybe, you know, get away. Don't shake hands, fist bumps, or don't even do that. There's different things you can do to protect yourself somewhat. Now, you can do everything right, and you still may get the coronavirus. That doesn't mean it's a death sentence.
No.
It doesn't mean you're dead instantly. Oh, my God, I'm dead. You know, it's like the Madagascar movie with Melman. You know, oh, you got this. You're going to die. And you find out, oh, I can live with this weird spot on my neck. I'm okay as a giraffe. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. That just popped in my head here. So having said all that, the coronavirus, if you want to call it outbreak, epidemic, pandemic, whatever word people want to give it, you can give it whatever you want. It is impacting sports. We knew it would. And here recently, in the last few days, some new things have popped up. One is let me pull this up here. I must have closed that one. The MAC, the MAC, and the Big West conference tournaments are going to go on as scheduled, but they're closed to the general public due to the coronavirus. And so there will be no fans at those two tournaments. But the Ivy League went further than anybody. The Ivy League, they used to not have a conference tournament until 2017. It was a regular season champion. Men and women went to the tournament. That was it. Then they added the conference tournament, one, probably to make some money, get some TV exposure. Well, they decided yesterday, the Ivy League, that instead of postponing their tournament, which probably wouldn't have done any good if they postponed it, or having their games in front of no fans and closing it to the general public like the WCC is, and also, not the WBCC, but the Big West and the MAC. Mm-hmm. What the Ivy League decided to do was, we're just not going to have it. We're canceling the tournament. Fran Franchella made an interesting point, well-respected. He put on Twitter, he said, even smart people can be dumb. He said, so you're canceling a tournament. You could easily have this tournament in an empty stadium with no fans like other people are doing. But his better point that he made was, but they're still going to allow Yale men and the Princeton women to play in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
Now, that's contradictory, and it's interesting. So you're going to cancel the Ivy League tournament, but you're all cool with them going to the NCAA tournament to represent your league. Now, maybe they'll say later, well, we can't control what Yale individually does or Princeton, so this was a league decision. We actually hope that they don't play in the tournament. We don't think the tournament should even be played, which more on that in a moment. So the Ivy League made that decision. Media, Major League Baseball, National Hockey League, all the big sports, NBA, NFL is not in session right now, but MLS, there's no media allowed in locker rooms, just essential personnel. So you're seeing that. The Big 12 tournament, no media is allowed.
Yeah.
You know, back behind the scenes, locker rooms, all this other stuff, trying to protect coaches and players and athletes and so forth. What are your thoughts on these tournaments that are being either one was canceled and others being played without fans, and then the lack of media access to locker rooms and behind the scenes because of, to protect everybody from spreading the coronavirus?
The initial original thought is what you just talked about earlier with, 45,000 people have died from the flu. Why are we playing games during flu season? Why are we having crowds at these games during flu season and all this? Like you said, I know there's a vaccine, but you know, there might be a vaccine, but there's still a heck of a lot more people dying from flu, even if they did get a flu
different
vaccine.
Different strains of flu. So vaccines are good on certain strains, but not others, just like we're seeing with coronavirus.
Yeah, and it's like, that's my initial thought, is why are we even doing anything during the winter and during flu season, if this is the case?
Yeah, I'm with you.
It's overreaction and panic. Like, if they want to do these tournaments, I guess, without fans and get them done, that's a better option for me than just altogether canceling it.
I'm with
you. The Ivy League only has four teams that make their tournament, so it'd be three games that they're canceling. Mm-hmm. But still, it's what I was reading.
How about Harvard? They were one game behind Yale in the regular season, the men, and now they don't have a chance.
And Harvard
to make the
was hosting the tournament.
Yeah.
And so Yale was the 2 seed last year, and Yale hosted the tournament. Harvard was the number 1 seed. Yale made the tournament because they won at Yale. As the number 2 seed, Harvard is in the same situation this year. Yeah. You know, they were one game behind Yale, and they were the number 2 seed. And
now they can't even play the tournament.
They were going to host it, and they can't even play it. And so now you can't get in. When all year you have the feeling like, okay, maybe if I get this game, maybe not. But I still have the tournament to get myself into the NCAA tournament.
Right.
And so now you don't have that. And I think the Ivy League is easy for them to just say we're not going to do it because we used to never have it anyway. This would have been only the 4th year we've done it. So, but. Still, I don't like doing it like that. You're better off, like say, with the Big West and MAC, just sit playing the games and not allowing fans there because you're disrupting everything else that's going on.
Right.
In my eyes, if they end up playing the NCAA tournament, then you got hosed out of a spot. Let's just put it like that. You might feel like that if you're Harvard.
Well, I'm going to read most of this article because I think it's interesting. And that's what we try to do on the show is provide some information. Doesn't have to always be my opinion or Dusty's opinion or whatever. But Dan Wolkin of USA Today wrote an interesting article. It's an opinion. So to each their own. And he says the article title is labeled, "It's time for the NCAA to make the right call, the tough call, and cancel March Madness." So here's what he has to say. So here's what people are going to do. People that are lazy, don't have a lot of time, are going to read that headline and go, "What a jerk, because you want the tournament, you love the tournament, and he's an idiot." That's how people will react. But why don't you read the story before you make a judgment? But we don't do this in this country either, do we? We read a headline, we don't read the article. And sometimes we read the article and we don't like it, so we don't, even if it may be factual, we just say it's a lie or fake news. Next week, about 1,800 college basketball players and a few hundred more coaches will fly in from college campuses around the country and congregate at multiple NCAA tournament sites. Given the spread of the coronavirus around the United States and the uncertainty of how many people actually have it due to lack of testing, it's conceivable that someone participating in a tournament game will be carrying the virus. Let's say that hypothetical person then tests positive a week later, at which point they've already come into close contact with two other teams who are in the Sweet 16. What do you do then? Given that members of Congress are going into quarantine because they were in the same room with someone who later tested positive for COVID-19, it's a question worth asking. What would you do with more than 20 basketball players and coaches who could potentially have been exposed to the coronavirus but are still playing for a national championship? As you grapple with that scenario, admittedly a hypothetical, but not one that is particularly far-fetched right now, it leads to an inevitable question. Is it irresponsible to play the NCAA men's and women's basketball tournaments this year? The tone of the debate around what to do with college basketball showcase event has undeniably changed as of yesterday. The Ivy League canceled its conference tournament. The governor of Ohio, Mike DeWine, put out a statement saying, and I quote, "asking for no events with spectators other than the athletes, parents, and others essential to the game," which is a significant statement since the first four of the NCAA tournament is in Dayton, Ohio, next Tuesday and Wednesday. The Mid-American and Big West conferences closed their tournaments to spectators, as we mentioned earlier. The NCAA, after releasing a statement putting the onus on schools and conferences to make up their decision on what they want to do, changed their tune a few hours later. The NCAA continues to assess how COVID-19 impacts the conduct of our tournaments and events. We are consulting with public health officials in our COVID-19 advisory panel, who are leading experts in various things, including public health, and will make decisions in the coming days. That suggests that the status quo is changing. The only question is to what degree. Here's the problem with the COVID or coronavirus 19 situation. We don't know how many people have it or are going to get it, but we know it's spreading in the U.S. While the vast majority of people who get it will recover or suffer only mild symptoms, they can easily spread it to vulnerable groups who are more at risk of serious illness or death. For that reason, businesses are restricting employees from travel. Schools in some communities that have had cases are sending kids home, and colleges are taking their classes online. This isn't about panic. Given the lack of treatment or vaccine, the only best answer doctors have given us for slowing this thing down is fewer person-to-person interactions, especially in places where we know there are cases. Day to day, it is clear this is how every sector of society is going to operate in the short term. It is what we're dealing with right now as a country. The idea that sports would somehow be an exception to that is arrogant at minimum and dangerous at worst. The NCAA tournament is an event where thousands of college students from more than 100 schools, band members, cheerleaders, athletes, and tens of thousands of fans leave their towns and hop around the country to watch games in arenas where fans are elbow to elbow before returning home and interacting with their communities. Given what we know right now, and especially what we don't, that setup becomes increasingly risky, selfish, and counterproductive to a society that may only be beginning to come to terms with the bigger picture. Again, depending on who you are, the problem with COVID-19 isn't necessarily that you might get it, it's who might get it from you. But even if the NCAA decides to play games without fans, is that enough of a line being drawn? How risky is it, really, to put these amateur college athletes from various parts of the country on the court to play against one another without testing every single participant before they play? Given the testing capacity right now, is that even going to be possible before the games next Thursday? And God forbid, what happens if a player or coach who was on the court with a bunch of other players and coaches tests positive for the virus? In a tournament that takes place over three consecutive weeks, is that really a roll of the dice the NCAA wants to take? These are real questions the NCAA needs to ask itself before going forward with its tournaments next week. Look, sports are very important, and canceling NCAA tournaments, that's a nightmare scenario. Hundreds of millions of dollars at stake. It would be awful to make that call. But what's the balance between overreacting and underreacting? We might not be able to know that answer for certain before it's too late. That's from a USA Today sports columnist, Dan Wolken. He posted on social media, and it's in the USA Today, his op-ed, in essence, his opinion. And he brings up some interesting points. Not going to lie.
Yeah.
He brings up some interesting points. This is what I said about a week ago. I was talking with my oldest son about this and my wife. And I said, it is going to be interesting to see what happens with the NCAA tournament. This is before yesterday. This is a week ago or so.
Yeah.
And this was my first reaction. My instant gut reaction, they're not going to cancel the tournament. There's too much money to be made.
Yeah.
They're not going to give up millions or billions of dollars because of a virus. But maybe they will if there's enough pressure, political pressure, and pressure from a lot of other entities. Okay, so let's take this from a sports perspective. Let's forget the health side of it for a moment. Let's focus on the sports perspective. We got a great example right here in our own neighborhood, in essence, in the state of Kansas. KU is the number one team in the country. KU is the favorite, Riley suggested on the show, the clear favorite, to win the NCAA tournament and win the national championship. Now, you've got a whole bunch of other teams that I think are capable of winning the tournament as well. But KU, let's just use them as examples since they're in our backyard. So KU has an unbelievable year, which they are. They're, what, 27-3 or something like that? They are going to be number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament more than likely. They will be a one seed. They'll probably be the pick by many to win it all. So you've worked this hard to get to this point to go win a national championship. And then, just like Harvard was denied an opportunity to play their way in from the Ivy League tournament since that was canceled, they ain't making it up. By the way, canceled means canceled. Canceled means it's done. There is no... People don't understand the difference between postpone and canceled, I've noticed, even athletic directors across the state of Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
Let me explain this. Canceled means there is no makeup date. It's canceled. It's done. Gone. You aren't making it up. Postpone means that you're not going to play it on the regular scheduled date. You're going to make it up a later time. So it's a postponement. That's what that means. Canceled means it's done. The Ivy League tournament is not going to be played. It was canceled. There are no plan Bs moving it to anywhere else to have it later on. It's done. There will be no Ivy League men's or women's basketball tournament. The NCAA tournament, if they cancel it, it's done. There will be no, they can't move it to October like some of these concerts that we've been hearing about.
Yeah.
Or movie releases that are coming out in November instead of April. There is no moving it. That's it. If they cancel the NCAA tournament, then Kansas and all these teams that had a chance to win a national championship and work so hard to get to that point, it's gone. Done. And guess what? Those players still graduate, or they go pro, leave college early, coaches might leave, and that's that. The only thing I can compare this to would be 1994, which once again is in our backyard. You know where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
The Kansas City Royals were 3.5 games out of first place. The Royals had won 14 in a row shortly before the strike happened in 1994. And there was no World Series in 1994. It almost basically killed a franchise. The Montreal Expos were the best team in baseball. Mm-hmm. They had Larry Walker, Marquise Grissom, unbelievable, Randy Johnson. I mean, they were loaded. The Expos were the best team in baseball. And there was no World Series. There was a work stoppage because of the strike, and they never got anything fixed. And it was the first time since the World Wars that we didn't have a World Series because of player and owner strife. And guess what? Larry Walker, who, by the way, I read today he's going to be the emergency goalie for the Colorado Avalanche. Did you see that?
I didn't.
He's a baseball Hall of Famer now.
Yeah.
Anyway, Larry Walker was on that Expo team as well, along with Randy Johnson, Marcus Grissom, and many others that were great. That team never had a chance. They had to reset. You have off-season acquisitions, trades. It's a whole new season next season. And so they never got to play the World Series. The Expos, obviously, that just killed them. And next thing you know, they're moving to Washington to become the Washington Nationals. The Royals were in right in the thick of it. They're 3.5 out of the division lead after a 14-game winning streak. And just like that, they never did pick it. A lot of people thought they would somehow get going again. They never did. Did they make that up? No. It was done. Canceled. Gone. Finito. Gone.
Yeah.
And imagine the Chiefs make it to the AFC Championship game. They win. And you're all excited about the Super Bowl. And then they cancel it because of the coronavirus. We've been waiting 50 years to make the Super Bowl. We make it. Now we can't play in it? I'm giving the sports angle. There are some people listening that may say, well, wait, it's not about sports. It's about public health. And I would definitely understand what you're saying. I'm just presenting the sports angle that these players, these coaches, and, of course, fans invest a lot of time and money, too.
Mm-hmm.
But you put all this effort in, and then all of a sudden, because of a virus that's killed 32 people, let me repeat, 32 people. Now, maybe it's going to be a lot more than that. But we just pointed out the flu's killed 45,000 people, according to the CDC, their own numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand they want to contain it, this and that. What is the right decision? And then you got a lot of money on the line. You talking about, we're talking millions, if not billions of dollars here.
Yeah.
The TV contract for the NCAA tournament is in the billions. All right, how big a hit does CBS take? How do you rework contracts? Like, CBS can be like, wait a minute, we paid for this tournament, now we don't have it. They got to get reimbursed. They get reimbursed, that means less money for the conferences, less money for the teams.
Yeah.
That money's got to be basically, okay, we're not going to pay that to CBS. Why would they pay it? Because there's no NCAA tournament. There are so many ramifications to canceling the NCAA tournament. Now, you could still have it without fans, which I think just kills the whole thing anyway. But at least you would have the games. You could watch them on TV. You still have TV ratings. And then you just have the players and the coaches in front of nobody playing games. And maybe that's what happens. That very well could happen. I think it will happen at some level, for some team, some professional team here in the United States. At some point it's going to happen. You're going to play in front of nobody because we're already seeing that overseas.
Yeah.
But the NCAA tournament, is it worth the risk to have hundreds of athletes and thousands of fans cross-country sitting next to each other, side by side, and you know probably 40% of those people don't wash their hands in the bathroom because they can't wait to get back in line for the concession stand. They got to hurry to get back, don't want to miss any of the action. They ain't going to take 20 seconds that they're supposed to do to wash their hands. Is there going to be enough hand sanitizer in these arenas? Is there going to be enough soap in the dispensers? You know what I'm saying? I mean, we can go on and on and on. I don't know what the right answer is, to be quite honest with you. I think the responsible, play-it-safe answer is cancel it. I mean, that would be the obvious thing to do. But in regards to all the things that are factored in, and it's the biggest thing, I mean, it's such a huge, huge thing in the sporting world, and not just sporting world. I mean, you got regular Joes and Jans of the world don't even care about basketball, suddenly fill out their bracket. I mean, it's a big thing. A lot of money. There's money there, too. Endorsement deals. This gets extremely complicated if you cancel the tournament. And somebody, once again, might pipe in my ear and say, listen, Wade, who cares? That's the price we got to pay to keep people safe. I would say it's already spreading. That doesn't mean you should still have the tournament because now you can speed up the spreading of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Dan Wolkin makes some interesting points. I just don't see the NCAA canceling the tournament.
I don't see a full cancellation.
I could see played in front of no fans.
Yeah.
I could see that. So they could salvage the TV money.
Yeah. And you think about that part of it. I mean, that could be even worth more money to the NCAA if the fans aren't there. I mean,
you know who's really going to be hurt, though? Here's who's really going to be hurt financially. The host cities.
Without question, yeah.
I mean, Houston, Indianapolis.
It's going to hurt the economy of those cities.
You have a Final Four in Atlanta and no fans can attend.
Yeah.
And you won't have any fan fest. You're not going to have tons of people get together and don't even go to the game. They get together for the fan fest and the concerts and everything goes ahead of it before the Final Four. If you're not allowing people to go to the games, why would you? They ain't going to have those events either.
Yeah.
So why are people going to go to Atlanta?
Yeah.
So Atlanta's going to be a desert town in regards to nobody's going to come for the Final Four if you say no fans can attend.
Yeah.
So Atlanta paid money, I guarantee you, the NCAA to host it. I guarantee you.
Oh, yeah.
The city bid on it. How is that going to be handled?
Yeah.
Do you suddenly say, oh, that's okay, we're pushing everybody back. Atlanta is hosting this year. We're canceling the tournament, or there's no fans. We're going to have an Atlanta again next year because there are no fans. And then, okay, Houston, you're going to get it next year. You're pushed back to 2022. You see what I'm saying? I don't know how you handle all that. But if you have no fans allowed to watch the games in the NCAA tournament, there will be no fan fest. There'll be none of that other stuff. Yeah. It will be basically players show up, play the game. And by the way, is it really worth the players to go to all the way to Atlanta? Why can't they just play it somewhere closer? I don't have to travel and get on a plane.
Yeah. There's not going to be fans there. Yeah. I mean, what's the point in playing in a huge arena?
Yes. Right. Yeah.
What are we playing in the Georgia or Mercedes-Benz whatever?
Benz Dome is
now
what it is,
now down at Atlanta. Yeah. Like, what's the point of that if there's nobody here? That would be kind of wild just to see that.
Yeah.
Nobody in a big, huge dome like that.
It's going to be very interesting to see how the NCAA tournament handles this.
It is. There'd be more of a premium on the ad revenue because that's the only way you can watch it.
Right.
For those, for the NCAA, if they would go that route, but
you'd have more people watching.
Yeah.
Probably.
Exactly.
So you could recoup some money.
Yeah.
There.
So, but I just don't know. The financial aspect's going to hit a lot of different places.
It'll hit.
Or wrong, it's going to hit Vegas,
Absolutely.
If people can't go, if they cancel it, for sure. I mean, how much are they going to miss out on the... I'm not trying to say that that's an important thing. I'm just saying
it's
part of the economy there.
Right.
And the economy of what's going on in that part of the sports world. And so there's a lot of things that will get involved or hit if they just say, hey, we're not going to do it.
Listen, the economy is going to take a major hit if we start canceling all kinds of sporting events. And the biggest one would be the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
You cancel that, you think about the economic impact of no money going into these towns that are spent on merchandise, beer, restaurants,
motels,
airfare.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking a major economic...
Airlines are already being hit right now.
Oh,
I mean,
absolutely.
Imagine that.
They're cutting back on the amount of flights now because the demand is down because people are a little bit scared to travel.
Cost to take a round trip to L.A. was like $90, though, because they want people on some of those.
Well, yeah, the ones they're still having.
They're slowing some of it down, but there's nobody on them even when they're going.
I have to admit, full disclosure here, I'm not going to give you all the details of my life, but full disclosure... My wife and I are planning on, we already have booked a trip that we're going to, sometime in the near future, we are supposedly going to go out of the country. Now, I have to admit, usually when we go on a trip, I'm excited about it. I'm excited about it. I don't like the travel part of it, but I'm like, okay, once we get there, we're going to have so much fun, blah, blah, blah. And right now, I'm debating whether or not to cancel the trip, but I can't cancel it. I have to have a legitimate excuse, I guess, sickness or whatever, because we have travel insurance that we, paid a couple hundred bucks for travel insurance. So we get all the rest of our money back if we can't go because of something, death in the family, illness, whatever it may be. And I'm sitting here, and my concern is not the trip itself. My concern is if we go out of the country on this particular trip, are we going to be held back for re-entering the country for 3 days, 5 days, a week when we have three boys back at home? And then I'm not here for work, and then you're going to have to pick up the slack in that situation. There's a lot of people. This is just one example.
Yeah.
I'm one person, okay? Yeah. I'm one person. I just give you an example that would affect grandparents on both sides, my three children, and it would affect you, and it would affect the station. And see how that trickle-down is?
Oh, yeah.
That's just one person. So now imagine the trickle-down effect of canceling the NCAA tournament.
Yes.
You think the markets are down now? They cancel NCAA tournament, I think you're going to see another crash in the markets just because of that one decision.
It's just a hit all the way around. I mean, you think about what you just talked about, concession workers, were relying on a little bit extra cash, coming in because they were going to be working in the tournament. Now they don't get that, so that hurts their, financial, they were relying upon maybe ushers at the stadiums.
Absolutely.
All the ticket takers, valets, everybody.
Everything. Yeah.
It's a major decision.
Well, and the media people,
just to
if
say,
you watch
no,
it on TV
it.
And they're not going
to
allow them access to the players, they're not going to travel media either to go cover the tournament because they'll just stay at home, watch on TV, write their story if they're going to do that because there's no sense in going if they can't have access to the players or coaches because they're off limits.
Exactly.
So that's more people beyond the fans that aren't going to travel and spend money.
Yeah.
I mean, this is going to, if this continues the way it is in regards to the sporting events, more and more of them having no fans. We're sitting here saying no fans. We haven't even talked about fully about canceling everything altogether.
Yeah.
But that's a big economic impact. Even if they have the NCAA tournament, but they don't allow fans to go into the games, yikes! That is the biggest event in this country during that 2-week stretch.
Oh, without a doubt.
I mean, think about how much money spent on airfare and restaurants and beer and traveling and everything else and ticket sales and merchandise, and that's a big hit. And that's just one. Yeah, and we're talking just one tournament.
Yeah.
Then we suddenly get all the pro sports to start doing this, and college sports, even smaller college sports like baseball, track and field, whatever it may be. That's scary part for people, yeah. Not only from a health perspective, but the economy.
Then you see how long is it going to last?
Yeah, exactly.
Because
there's going to be,
you can't make up baseball games if this goes into baseball season.
Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, if they come up with a vaccine and you can just magically go poof in 3 months to where there's no coronavirus, you eradicate it completely, there's still going to be effect of this thing for months to come now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's the scary part of this whole thing. So Keisha has, we're going to the state tournament. I am anyway. Dusty's not. He's still not very happy about that. But it is the way it is because just only one team.
It happens.
It happens. It's been a couple of years I haven't been going. It's kind of a weird situation. But here's what the CDC recommends: everyday preventive actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases, including the coronavirus. You ready? Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Well, see, there's the thing. You go to the NCAA tournament, some people, you might be right next to somebody you don't know, and they're sick, and you don't know it. Or they don't even know they have something, and that's the reason Dan Wilkins saying you just cancel it. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. That's hard to do. I have to admit.
I've done it probably twice, at least three times this morning just while we were talking.
Oh, I do it all the time. You know, I got to wipe something in my eye. I feel something on my eyelash.
Yeah.
I touch my nose. I mean, you got to wipe your mouth. I mean, yeah, that part, that one's tough. Stay home when you're sick. Don't be a tough guy or tough woman out there. Cover your cough or sneeze with a tissue, then throw the tissue in the trash. Well, where else would you do with the tissue? You should. Maybe some people, I don't know. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects and surfaces using a regular household cleaning spray or wipe. They do that at the wellness center. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to, not everybody does it, but you're supposed to wipe down the equipment after you're done. A lot of people still don't do it. Probably the same people don't wash their hands. Let's see here. Follow CDC's recommendation for using a face mask. CDC does not recommend that people who are well wear a face mask. Face masks should be used by people who show symptoms of the COVID-19 to help prevent the spread of the disease to others. Wash your hands. Here's the key one. We've said it before. Wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds, especially after going to the bathroom, before eating, and after blowing your nose, coughing, or sneezing. If soap and water are not readily available, use an alcohol-based hand sanitizer with at least 60% alcohol. Always wash hands with soap and water if hands are visibly dirty. That is a statement coming straight from Keisha, that is coming straight from the KDHE, the Kansas Department of Health and Environment, and the CDC. That is out there on the Keisha website prior to the state tournament. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're going to hand, you know, out one sheets to people that go in. It wouldn't be a bad idea.
I'll bet they'll have kind of something either hand it or something, right. I would think.
Right. So we'll continue to see. It said something about Madonna canceled her tour, Pearl Jam. We were thinking about going and seeing them in Denver. They're postponing their stuff. A lot of musicians. Who was the other one that was recent that I heard? Neil Young, I think, has an older crowd. So he said because of that, he's postponing his concerts. And there's money, too, right there that's gone from the economy. So it already is having an impact. And anybody in this country that was naive enough to think, even some of our leaders, that it was just a China problem, which when that happened in China, I'm like, this thing's going to spread like wildfire. Because you got millions of people in China, and all it takes is a few people to travel back and forth and don't even know they have it, and this thing's going to spread.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty simple to figure that one out. And for people to, you know, I'm sure they're trying to prevent a fear or a panic, but if any logic told you this thing was going to spread, especially if you don't have a vaccine to knock it out right off the bat. So here we are. U.S. is now dealing with it, and it's starting to impact your entertainment stuff, concerts, sporting events, or whatever else may be. Schools, colleges, having classes. Some doing them online now. We shall see how it all goes here the next few weeks. And the next question I have is, when does the NCAA tournament have to make that decision? If they decide to go no fans in the arenas, and play games in front of no fans, what about all those fans that have already booked their tickets and bought tickets for regionals or first, second round or Sweet 16 or Final Four, and already booked hotels? You can usually cancel those. If they've booked airfare, hopefully they can cancel without a penalty. What about all those people that, I mean, the sooner they make a decision, the better, right? Because if you wait till Wednesday, the day before the first tourney games on Thursday,
surely you can't wait.
Once you get to Thursday next week,
I feel like
don't you have to play the whole tournament once you start it?
You have to make a decision within the next 2 days.
I think you got to make a decision by the end of the weekend at the latest.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to be that person making a decision by selection Sunday.
Well, that's true. These games come out.
That's true.
Before that show comes on
Sunday morning,
you have to have a decision.
Sunday morning, you have to have the decision.
Because people are going to get on there Selection Sunday and say, hey, this is where we're going. I'm going to go get my tickets now.
Yeah, right.
So now that I know.
Right. I'm not going to live in fear. Yeah, I'm going to go to the game.
I'm not going to go buy the ticket to Houston if I'm not certain KU's going to be there.
Absolutely.
So you got to know before that show comes on, probably, I would say Saturday night, to be completely honest, just to have it and tell people, don't be going buying tickets because they're not going to be available.
Right. If they cancel the tournament, what a bummer that would be, because there are some conference tournament championship games. There's one or two on Sunday.
Yeah.
So now you're sitting here, let's say you're a Big Ten, and let's say it's Nebraska, which, by the way, they only have 7 scholarship players. They got to grab football players to be on their team now. Did you see that?
Yeah.
But Nebraska, let's say Nebraska men's basketball team have an unbelievable run in the Big Ten tournament, and they get to Sunday, and they're one win away from automatic bid, and they find out Saturday before they even play the game that the NCAA tournament's been canceled.
Yeah.
Why would you even play the game on Sunday?
Yeah.
I guess you can still win a trophy, but
you can bring home a Big Ten trophy.
Debbie Downer moment that would be.
Yeah.
We hadn't even thought about that part, had we? When would they have to cancel?
Yeah.
That would have to be done in the next 72 hours.
It's almost. Yeah.
72 to 96 hours.
Yeah.
Wow. Holy cow.
Saturday night, very early Sunday morning.
Here's the thing. You know how many people are going to be upset if they cancel it? So many people be upset.
Oh, yeah.
But at the same time, there'll be other people that'll be like, oh, that's a relief.
It's
the right decision. Yeah. Sometimes the right decision isn't the popular one.
No.
You can make your own opinion on which decision you think is right. 10:06 our time, 36 degrees. Now, if you're a person just going to stay at home and watch the games on TV, you're like, why cancel it? Yeah. I ain't going to the games anyway.
Exactly.
But you got to think about all the people that do. 36 and the players and the coaches, as Dan Wolkin mentioned. 10:07 our time, 36 degrees. Beloit and Nemaha Central, there are games at state. I think we're going to get that tournament in before anything is postponed or canceled, I hope.
Yes.
And Beloit and Nemaha Central today, that'll be at 4:30 on KD Country 94 and KDCountry94.com.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.